First verse again, joy. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room.
Let every heart prepare him.
And heaven and nature sing.
Heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing.
Come all ye faithful. That means you guys and you girls too. Citizens of heaven above.
Forevermore, if thy name adore.
Word of the Father.
Word of the Father.
Now in flesh appearing.
Now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord.
This morning, as we gather here in your name, may our hearts be moved to love and adore you. Teach us how to love you and one another, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, and we'll do the Christmas carol candle. And I'd like us just to reflect a little bit on the Christmas story before we do the third candle. In the book of Luke, the story begins with the angel visiting Mary, and she's shocked and dismayed, and the angel says, "Fear not." And then he speaks to her about the fact that she will bear the Messiah. And what I wanted to do this morning is just think about what isn't told in the scriptures. Her immediate response was, "How can this be, since I know not a man?" And the angel said, "The Holy Ghost will rise upon you, and you will conceive and bear a child." Now I'd like to plug in my imagination. What was her next move? She said, and let me just say this, the scriptures say, she said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Okay. All right, whatever you're saying, have at it. Then what? It doesn't really say. None of the accounts say. Did she grab her cell phone and call Joseph? How many of you think that happened? Who is she going to speak to about this? Who's going to be the first one to hear from her that an angel met with her and said she's going to carry the Messiah into this world? Have you ever thought about it? I suspect she might have talked to her mother. And if she did talk to Joseph, or when she did, it wasn't going to be a cell phone call unless it was, "Joe, I need to meet with you. Can we get together tonight and talk about something?" And Joseph, of course, is going to be, "What in the world's going on that she got to talk tonight?" And I suspect that when she did design to talk to Joseph, she set aside some time and said, "Can we get off here in the corner away from things and let's, I need to tell you what's going on. Can you walk into that corner with her and with him?" And so she tells him that she has a visitation from an angel and that she either is or is going to be pregnant with the Messiah. Did she do this immediately, or did she wait a few weeks to make sure that it was happening? Have you ever thought about these things? How sure was she? I would think she'd want to be pretty sure before she opened her mouth, but now the mouth is open, and Joseph hears the story. And what is dear old Joe going to do? Well, there is a line in the book of Matthew that says that Joseph kind of thought, well, I'm going to send her away secretly. So what was behind, I'm going to send her away secretly? Did he believe her? Did he think that she was telling a story? Did he just want to protect her from the clacking lips of the neighborhood ladies and gentlemen? What was going on behind the scene? And the scriptures don't tell us very much, except that he was a righteous man and he decided to, this would be a way of protecting her somehow. And then the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream that night and said, go ahead, take Mary to be your wife. The scripture goes on to say that he did not know her as husband and wife until after the baby was born. But he went out on a limb. I want you to stay with me. Now it's Joseph's turn. He had thought maybe we could just send her away and keep it all a secret. But now, after the dream, with the instruction of the angel in the dream, he needs to do something. And so, what's he do? Well, first of all, he takes her to be his wife. She moves in and he moves. They move together somehow. And now he's going to have to tell the story publicly. And who's going to believe him? Who's going to believe her? And what will they say about her? And what will they say about him when he begins to put the word out? Have you ever thought about this? She will bear the scorn of many of the neighbors. And the attitude will be, yeah, likely story. Now I've heard everything. But how about him? He's a businessman. And the story is that this woman has encountered the angel of the Lord, and she's now impregnated by him, and she's expecting everybody to believe that story. And furthermore, Joseph is having dreams about marrying her, and this is all true. Joseph's kind of an old man who doesn't really count. Can you imagine going to work the next day? Joseph shows up in his carpenter shop, and maybe he's the only one there, but in comes the neighbor, Reuben. He said, did I hear right about you? I'm trying to get you to think about it. He's got to face Reuben, and he's got to, pretty soon the rabbi comes in. The rabbi says, what is this I am hearing about you? And Joseph says, it's all true. What's all true? Can you imagine the struggle of facing the public? Can you imagine what that does to his business? At one time, he was an honorable and righteous man of the community, highly respected and regarded. And all of a sudden, arrows are coming at him from every direction. But that's not where I wanted to end this story, because it doesn't end there. I want to read on. For some reason, very shortly after that, Mary left to go and visit Elizabeth. And again, my suspicion is that she left town because it wasn't very comfortable in town. But that's just me. I wasn't there. Betsy was, but I wasn't. She goes to visit Elizabeth. And as she comes in the door, the baby in Elizabeth kicked and leapt for joy. Now, if Elizabeth hadn't been a spiritual woman, she would have decided, this kid is going to be a soccer player. And he's already practicing. But because she understood spiritual things, she said, the baby leapt for joy at your greeting. I wonder what that did for Mary. Somebody believes. Not sort of, not required to, but wow, this is happening. And her response was, and when Elizabeth heard her greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. If there had been any doubts or concerns or worries, suddenly they were brushed aside. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord, can you imagine that? The mother of my Lord. She didn't just say, you're pregnant. But you're carrying my Lord. The mother of my Lord would come to me. For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leapt in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who has believed that they would be fulfilled. The words would be fulfilled that were spoken to her by the Lord. And now listen to Mary. Mary says, my soul exalts in the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. She was hanging on and she was believing the impossible. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the humble estate of your bondservant. Behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things, and holy is his name. What a glorious song she sang as her faith was confirmed by the voice of her cousin. And there was a beginning of a new assurance that all the stuff that had gone before were not daydreams, were not just dreams or night dreams, but all of this stuff was God moving in her, in them. The story goes on to say that she dwelt there with them for 3 months until about the time that John the Baptist was to be born, and then she returned to her land. And so this morning, as we think about the happening of 2,000 years ago, I'd like us to recognize that real people were involved and real questions about what to believe and how to believe and how to live were in front of them. It's not just we who struggle sometimes with what's next or did I really hear this? Is this really God, or what shall I do now? Way back throughout scriptural history, men and women were faced with God's encounter with them, and he always called them just a little bit beyond where they were. And it was, you know, there's a thing that said, if it's possible, then you don't need God. But if it's impossible, then it will be God calling. And in the impossible time that Mary and Joseph faced, it was God calling and God doing and God accomplishing. And God's name was glorified. In these last days, we are faced with this reality that there is still a God who encounters people right where they're living. I want to just note that Mary was not in church when she encountered the angel, or the angel encountered her. Neither was Joseph. He found them. God finds us where we are. And then he says, yeah, you. Yeah, you. Who, me? Remember Gideon? He's out there. He's doing the wine press thing. And the angel shows up. And the angel says, oh, thou great man of God. And Gideon says, who, me? I'm of the smallest tribe in Israel. I don't even know how to walk straight. Who, me? I want you to hear this. God is looking for people who will dare believe that he can speak to them and call them and move in them and through them, touch the world. The Bible is filled. I want you to hear this. The Bible is filled with God touching ordinary people and turning them from the ordinary to the supernatural. That's what the stories are about. 400 or 500 people recorded in Scripture where God reaches into their lives and sets them on a path that they would not otherwise have chosen. And I'll tell you what, God has not stopped doing that very thing. He's looking for people who are willing to believe that God has not stopped, and he's still calling people to serve him. That, perhaps, is one of the great messages of the Christmas season. I wanted to just say one more thing, and then we'll go back to the girls. And I think the next song is Purify My Heart. Larry, do we have video again yet? Not yet. Okay. I've forgotten what I was going to do. One of the troubles about getting old is that you forget things. Well, girls, we'll go to you. Purify my heart, O God. Cleansing fire.
Touch me with your cleansing fire.
Take me to the cross.
Take me to the cross.
Holiness is my desire.
Holiness is my desire.
Breathe your life in me. Kindle a love that flows from your throne.
Kindle a love that flows from your throne.
Oh, purify my heart.
Oh, purify my heart.
Purify my heart.
Purify my heart.
start again, purify my heart. Let it be a prayer.
Purify my heart.
Touch me with your cleansing fire.
Touch me with your cleansing fire.
Take me to the cross.
Take me to the cross.
Your holiness is my desire.
Your holiness is my desire.
Breathe your life in me.
Breathe your life in me.
Kindle a love that flows from your throne. That's our prayer, Lord. Please do that work within us. Make us pure before you. Purify thy heart, our hearts, Lord. Your love is devoted like a ring of solid gold.
Like a vow that is tested.
Like a covenant of old.
Like a covenant of old.
Your love is enduring.
Your love is enduring.
Through winter rain.
Through the winter rain.
And beyond the horizon.
Beyond the horizon.
With mercy for today.
With mercy for today.
Faithful.
Faithful you have been.
Faithful you'll be.
Faithful.
You pledge yourself to me.
You pledge yourself to me. And that's why I sing your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips.
Can we go back to the first verse again? Your love is devoted like a ring of solid gold.
Your love is devoted like a ring of solid gold.
Like a vow that
like
is tested.
Like a vow that is tested.
Like a covenant of old.
Like a covenant of old.
Your love is enduring.
Your love is enduring.
Through the winter rain.
Through the winter rain.
And beyond the horizon.
And beyond the horizon.
With mercy for today.
With mercy for today.
Faithful.
Faithful you have been.
Faithful.
And faithful you will be.
You pledge yourself to me.
You pledge yourself to me.
And that's why I sing.
And that's why I sing your praise. Will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips.
I want you to hear the verse next. Next verse goes like this. You father the orphan. Your kindness makes us whole. Who's the orphan in that? Makes us whole. You shoulder our weakness. And your strength becomes our own. You're making me like you. Clothing me in white. Bringing beauty from ashes. You will have your bride. Speaks of us, God reaching into us. You father the orphan. Let's sing it together. You father.
You father the orphan. Your kindness makes us whole.
Your shoulder our weakness. And your strength becomes our own. You're making me like you.
You're making me like you.
Clothing me in white.
Clothing me in white.
Bringing beauty from ashes.
Bringing beauty from ashes.
For you will love. You will have your bride.
You will have your bride.
Free of all her guilt.
Free of all her guilt.
Rid of all her shame.
Rid of all her shame.
Known by her true name. That's why I sing.
And that's why I sing
your
praise. Will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips.
You will be praised. You will be praised.
You will be praised.
With angels and saints we sing.
With angels and saints we sing.
Worthy are you, Lord.
Are you, Lord.
You will be praised.
You will be praised.
You will be praised.
You will be praised.
With angels and saints we sing.
With angels and saints we sing.
Worthy. Are you, Lord?
Are you, Lord? You will be praised. You will be praised. With angels and saints, we sing worthy. Are you, Lord? You will be praised. You will be praised. With angels and saints, we sing worthy. Why I sing your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips.
So, Lord, we do pray that you would cause us to be faithful and confident in you. In Jesus' name. So that your praise will indeed ever be on our lips. Which one are you doing? This one? Okay. Listen. Yes, sir.
He's got a word. I wonder if you want to stick it in right now.
Yes, absolutely. Here you go. I'll throw you the mic.
Just having a sense this morning that especially with this song that was just sung about him fathering the orphan. He's saying to us that there have been giftings and things that I have spoken over you within your life that you have either allowed yourself to say, that's not something for me. We have allowed other people to speak over us that that's not what God is saying. And the Lord says, the things that I have spoken over you from the very beginning, I'm going to bring those back to the surface in the year 2019. I'm going to begin to put those things before your eyes. You are going to see that which I have spoken over you from the beginning, that those things are still true. And I am going to bring them to the forefront in your life, and you're going to see healing in those areas where you have either spoken over yourself that this is not for me, or someone else has told you that it's not for you. But I am going to show you those areas, and I'm going to bring healing into those, that the giftings within my body will begin to move into the kingdom that I have designed them for the places that they're supposed to line up.
Keith, when God repeats himself, is it because he forgot he said it once before?
I don't think so. I believe so, yeah. See, I forget like you. Was it that soon? Was it that soon? Really?
Okay. A month ago, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay.
And so God's repeating himself. I just want to point that out. And when he repeats himself, it's not because he forgot he said it before. It's because we forgot. Or we didn't get it. And so I just like us to get it this morning. Whatever God has spoken into you in days gone by, whatever his purpose has been, and if you didn't get it the first time, get it this time. But whatever his purpose has been, he has not said, forget it, I give up on you. He repeats himself. He calls us to himself again to release the word again in order for us to get it. And so I'd like us to just open our hearts to get it. I want to get it. Whatever it is the Lord has spoken or is speaking, I want to get it. 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 Can you see that? That sounds real spiritual. I want to get it. And the beauty of this thing is that God is not throwing bricks at us or lightning bolts. He's just saying, I've got stuff for you. Yes, be it. Yeah, we could say that. Be it done unto me according to your word. If you said it 5 years ago, 5 months ago, 5 weeks ago, 5 minutes ago, be it unto me according to your word. And if you said it all five times, 5 months, 5 weeks, 5 minutes ago, be it unto me. I want to receive the word of the Lord. I want to see, receive, and walk in the word of the Lord. And so we declare that, Lord, before you today. We want the word of the Lord to be accomplished in us, in Jesus' name. Be it unto me according to thy word. Be it unto me according to thy word. Can you imagine what it meant to Mary that first time? Shocking word. The impossible. Taking somebody, probably just a teenager, and stepping her into the most incredible position of all time, the mother of the Messiah. Be it unto me according to thy word, in Jesus' name. You had another song ready to go?
Okay.
Earth.
Humbly you came
became poor.
All for love's sake became poor.
So here,
here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
I'll never know how much.
To see my sin upon the cross.
I'll never know
how much it cost to see my sin upon the cross.
So
here I am to worship.
Sing Purify My Heart again. And I'd like us to reflect on the word that the Lord brought to us again through Keith. The things that he has put upon us, poured out upon us, and we have, for whatever reason, not proceeded with. Whatever the reason would be, to be wiped away. Purify my heart, Lord. Cleanse my heart. So that that which you have promised, that which you have purposed, would be accomplished. And sing it again, Purify My Heart.
From your throne.
Would you give us one more, and then we move on.
Good morning, everybody. I guess I'm up here next. I actually have a little bit of a story to tell you guys. I don't usually like to tell stories in church, but this one's true. And I guess Jesus told a lot of stories, too, in his ministry. And the point of this story is actually just to move you guys a little bit. You know, if you're right here, the point of this story is just to move you over to here. And I hope it does. This story actually starts like 10 or 11 years ago. I was a little bit younger then. This was like before the time where the computer's in your pocket and the big screens on our phones. I had a little flip phone. But I felt called to go to Virginia because Randy Clark was having some type of healing meeting or ministry. And I didn't really want to go. It was going to be an expensive trip. I had to take time off of work to go. It'd be about a week. I didn't know how I was going to get down there. So I really struggled with it, but I just felt so strongly to go there, just like such a pull. And I was just wrestling with it, and I was having people pray about it, like my parents and other people. And I just couldn't shake the feeling, and I kept like having these little, like, I don't know, visions or little tidbits that were just like pulling me there and calling me to go. And I kept seeing these numbers, too. It was funny. Everywhere I went on receipts or on gas station or even people calling me and leaving me messages, I would see that same number, and it turns out that number was the address of the church down there. So it's kind of like it just kept adding up and adding up to the point where I was like, you know, I guess I have to go because it's just I'm probably going to end up there either way, whether I want to or not. Somebody's going to drag me down there and kidnap me or something. But so I decided to go. And I bought bus tickets to go, and it was like the last day or the last chance to get those tickets to get down there. I think it was like 19 at the time. And it was a day and a half trip or something by Greyhound bus. But since I was going to go, I decided I'd make the best of it, and I'd really get as much as I could out of that meeting. You know, Randy Clark, this great man of God, I'm going to see miracles. I'm going to do miracles. God is going to use me on this trip on the way down, on the way back. While I'm there, I started fasting. I didn't eat anything for like 7 days. You know, I was skinny to begin with, and by the time I got there, there wasn't much left of me for God to use, but I was still hopeful. And I don't know, 10 or 11 years ago was kind of the first time I think that Google Maps was out. And, you know, you look on it on your computer, and that little tiny distance from here to there, it just looks like you could walk from the hotel to the church, but it was like a half an hour walk. You know, just that finger width on the computer screen was a half an hour walk across this line of restaurants and plazas, and you try walking across the line of restaurants every day when you're fasting. It wasn't an easy task. But it was such a powerful time, and powerful speakers, and powerful worship, and so many things happened on the way down there. And people I met in the bus station, on the bus, just unbelievable things. And I can't think of one of them. Can't think of one name. Can't remember one miracle. Can't even remember what Randy preached about. Can't remember what hotel I stayed at. Can't even remember the name of the city I stayed in Virginia. But one of those times, when I was walking to that church to go to one of the meetings, which they had every day, I was walking through one of the plazas. And I had to walk pretty quickly because, like I said, it was a long trip. It took me about a half an hour if I was walking fast. And for some reason, I felt pulled into one of the plazas. And I walked in and kind of cut across the face of the plaza. And as I walked up quickly, I saw teetering on the edge of the sidewalk, kind of like doing one of these, like, you know, trying to, like, just about ready to take their next step, was this little old lady. Was probably about 4.5 feet tall. She looked like she was about 90 years old, and she was just teetering over the edge of the blacktop. And I kind of like waited a second to see what she was going to do, and then I felt compelled to run up and stand next to her, and she kind of looked at me, and I looked at her, and it was almost like it took a second to have her gain my, you know, trust enough that I put out my arm, and she took it, and it just felt like something special in that moment, like here we are, two strangers, and yet I reached out, and she had the faith to reach back and take my arm, and I walked her over to her car where her husband was waiting. And he looked like he was like 95. I mean, he was probably too old to be driving, and they were both too old to be out doing what they were doing. But I never have I walked so slow in my life. It was like one of those, like, and I had her by the arm, and it was just, it felt like it took an eternity to get to where we were going. But I'll never forget her face looking up at me in just that moment where she reached out in trust and faith and took a stranger's arm and let me walk her to her car. And I don't know, maybe she would have made it, but it didn't look like she was going to make it. I mean, she was just teetering there on the edge of that curb, and it looked like a cliff to her. And it looked like she was teetering on the edge of a cliff, ready to fall face first any second. So I was there just at the right time to help her across. And then I, you know, hurried up on my way so I could make it to my meeting to see mighty men of God perform many miracles that I don't remember, and meet wonderful people and build relationships that I have no idea where they went or what they were for. And it really was a wonderful time, and I spent the rest of the week down there, took the bus back home. And when I got back home, it was kind of like coming off of one of those big highs, you know? If you guys have gone to a conference or a meeting before, it was just so high being down there and fasting and all that. And then coming back, it was just back to regular life and the grind and back to work and all that. And I just remember struggling with it and crying out to God, like, why did you have me go? I felt so strongly to go down there, so strongly. And, like, what did I get out of it? I mean, I know this happened and that happened and all these things happened. And I got to be with Randy and these other great speakers and great worship. But it seemed like, it seemed like there had to be more. Like there was something that I was supposed to get that I didn't. Like, why did you send me? What was the reason? And I remember hearing so clearly. I heard the voice so clearly. It actually knocked me down on the floor. The voice was just like a force. And God said to me, as clear as day and as clear as I'm saying to you now, I sent you down there for that woman. So you could help her walk from here to there. But I was like, why, God? There was hundreds of people, thousands of people, millions of people. This was the middle of Virginia. And he said there was nobody else who would go. And we find ourselves day in and day out in situations and places where we've been for days, for weeks, for years, and you wonder, God, why am I here? God, why am I doing what I'm doing? And we forget just how patient, just how kind, just how long-suffering love can be. And you look at God sending Jesus during this season. He humbled himself so much to take on the form of man and come to this earth just so he could move people from here over to there, even if it took what felt like an eternity, one tiny step at a time. He reached out to us, caught us on the edge of that cliff as we teetered back and forth, and he offered his arm and said, I'll help you get there. Just take my arm in return. And that story, it just so perplexes me, and it even bothers me to this day. And that's really all I remember about that whole trip. And I think about it at least every year for the last 10 or 11 years, sometimes many times a year. And I can still picture that little lady's face looking back up at me. And if you begin to think about all that it took to get me to go in the first place, and all it took to get me down there, and all it took to cause me to end up to be where she was at that time. But yet God orchestrated all that. You know, the tiniest details of our lives to bring us to people and places in need, and even our own need. So I just want to remind myself and each one of you today in this season, this Christmas, it isn't always about the big miracles or the great men of God or the giant leaps of faith. Sometimes it's just the little steps, the little reaching outs, the little acts of obedience that can move us and move the world a few steps closer to Christ. So Lord, I ask that you would move us this morning, that you would move our hearts closer to you. That when you reach to us, that we would reach back. And that when you ask us to reach out to others, we would reach. Help us to be more like Jesus.
I'd like you to just hang in here for a second, Nate. Don't go away. I did remember. Isn't this fantastic? Aren't you glad? I did remember. It had to do with the third cross here.
That was a candle.
A candle, right. Figured that out, right? Thank you. This is a candle. The cross is there. And it had to do with the other two candles and the fact that love, it's the expression of God's love that sent Christ. When we, in the past, we considered what is it, love is kind, forgiving, gracious. And we talked about that. We talked about the fact that love sent Christ to minister to us. And the third candle, which I was going to do but got sidetracked, was what Nate has talked about. And I'd like just to reinforce what Nate said. I think that what the Lord was saying to me over the last week or two had to do with expressing his love in very minuscule ways, which is unique to you in that particular situation. You may recall that when we were talking out of the Romans passage, if I give my body to be burned, sell all my possession, and have not love, it's all for nothing. Remember that? You didn't? Okay, now you know. And I'd just like you to be aware that the expression of love that God wants to flow through you will sneak up on you and you won't even know what's happening. You have an opportunity to be kind to somebody. You miss it. To smile at somebody. Well, what would they think if I smiled at them? Love that is being expressed in the most provoked way, just a reaching out, exactly what Nate was talking about. We sometimes try to picture ourselves doing something big and mighty or make a big declaration or something. We have a world out there that is desperate for love. And yesterday we were at a wedding and we sat through the wedding. It was a delightful wedding, by the way. Most unusual wedding I've ever been, but it was fun. But in the reception afterwards, which was maybe 200 people there, I guess the Lord was showing me needy people, needy, 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 needy people. And I realize that God's desire is to touch those needs. And it's not just little old ladies that are trying to cross the street. People who just need a pat on the back, just a smile, just a word of encouragement, just a friend for a minute. And so I felt like the third candle was to call us to yield to those momentary, sudden nudges to smile or to do or to speak or even say God bless you. I have shocked myself sometimes by saying to an absolute stranger, usually, you know, a cashier or, you know, somebody at the restaurant or something, and say, thank you, God bless you. And I think, whoops, was I supposed to say that? It flows when the nudge is there. And I just would challenge you, particularly during this holiday season, to be sensitive to the nudge. In other words, be the Christian that God has called you to be. Did you want to say something, Betsy?
I just want to say, when you can say, I think if we would recognize when the arm is offered to us, that it's from God, we'd be more apt to offer the arm. Or if we recognize that smile or that touch, it wasn't just George that touched me, it was Father that did, we'd be more apt to touch.
Yes, there is a recognition that on those occasions that it's more than just a pat on the back. The God bless you. I mean, somebody sneezes, you say, God bless you, and it's all right. Doesn't mean anything. Hi, how are you? Doesn't mean anything. It's just what you do. But I want us to be a people who recognize that the opportunity is an opportunity for God to touch that person with a God bless you, or a touch, or a smile. God moving through you, touching a person. Very much like what Nate has just commented on. And so, Nate, I'd like you to pray for all of us that we would all, each, every one of us, have an opportunity and discover it and move into it some way, somehow, minister the touch of God in our world this week. This week. Is that too much to ask? Go for it.
Dear God in heaven, we ask that you would just move our hearts into a place of humility and tenderness, that we can feel your touch and your love and your kindness and your patience and your long-suffering towards us, and just release a piece of that into the world around us. Help us to be in this season like Christ, clothed in humility, but clothed in grace and just the Father's love to reach a world in need. Move us closer to you and help us to move others closer to you too. In the name of Jesus.
And all the people say, amen. Thank you, Nate. We are fast approaching the end of the year of 2018. And I have just 4 or 5 verses of scripture that I want to share with you. One of them they all reflect specifically on the things that we've talked about, and the thing that Keith brought to our attention, that whatever it is that God has called you to in the past, whether you succeeded or failed, He is calling you again to accomplish the things that He has put before you. And so the The scripture that I want to read to you is out of Jeremiah chapter 15. And it's a time when Jeremiah had been serving the Lord and prophesying to the nation Israel. And it seemed like every time he prophesied, he got trouble. And it didn't matter what he prophesied, repeatedly, trouble would come to him. There was one occasion when Jeremiah actually said, "Lord, you have betrayed me." And what he was saying was, I've been faithful, I've done what you told me to do, and look at me now. He'd end up in jail. One time he was thrown into a cistern, and he sunk up to his armpits in muck. And it was a miserable occasion, and he was wondering, what a miserable life I have. Jeremiah is often called the weeping prophet, and he had plenty of reason to weep. You know, you might think of the Apostle Paul as being more legitimately called the weeping prophet, but that doesn't apply to him. At any rate, one of those occasions when he was bellyaching to God and telling God he was struggling with the way he was being treated in spite of the fact that he was being a voice for God, God said the things that I'm about to read. In that occasion, there were literally hundreds of prophets who called themselves prophets of God, and in their prophecy was, God is going to rescue you. God is going to make you strong. You don't need to worry about anything. God is the God of Israel, and God will not allow your enemies to overtake you or to crush you. And Jeremiah basically alone said, God says, shape up your lives, because if you don't, there will be destruction coming. And in that time of bellyaching to God and being frustrated and discouraged, God says to Jeremiah, now this is written to Jeremiah, therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, then I will restore you. Before me, you will stand. I'm not sure where Jeremiah was, other than he was frustrated with God and bellyaching. And God says to Jeremiah, hey, pal, if you straighten up, if you'll return, and this is God speaking to Jeremiah, who's the faithful prophet. If you will return, before me you will stand. And if you extract the precious from the worthless, you will become my spokesman. They, for their part, may turn to you, but as for you, you must not turn to them. Then I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze, and though they fight against you, they will not prevail over you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, declares the Lord. So I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked and will redeem you from the grasp of the violent. What an incredible promise. Jeremiah heard the word of the Lord. Jeremiah turned and spoke the word of the Lord, continued to speak the word of the Lord. He became a faithful prophet. And you want to know, it may be a little bit puzzling, but I need to note this, that Jeremiah was faithful to speak the word of the Lord. Well, near the end of his life, the people came to him and said, what's the word of the Lord? And Jeremiah said, you don't want to hear it. You don't listen to what I tell you. And they said, oh, no. Whatever you say, we'll do. And Jeremiah said, so thus saith the Lord, do not go down to Egypt. Do not trust in Egypt. Deliver yourself into the hand of your enemy. Oh, no. And off they went down to Egypt, and they dragged Jeremiah with them. Into Egypt, and we don't know the end of the story, but it's understood, depending on who you read, that he died in Egypt with these people who dragged him with them. And some say he died a martyr in Egypt. Others say he lived a martyr all his life. The question is, was he a faithful servant of God. I want to dare to challenge you today. I'm not expecting that you're going to be prophets to the nations as Jeremiah was, but I am saying this. Every one of you have an opportunity to be a mouthpiece for the living God. Every one of you. There is work for you to do in your daily life. You don't have to go down to Virginia or someplace. There's a little old lady waiting for you in Rochester. There's opportunity right where you live to carry the heartbeat of God to people. You may look at yourself and say, well, I haven't done too well. And this word that God gave to Jeremiah, if you will return, if you will seek me, I will perform through you the stuff that I have for you to do. There is a job to do. And you know, just as surely as Nate says, when he gets home, he can't remember much of anything. And he's saying to God, why in the world did I go? What a waste of time. And God says, I sent you to one little old woman. One little old woman. And Nate says, well, why did you use somebody that was there? And the answer was, I couldn't find anybody there. There's people in your world that need a touch from God. And he's looking to you to participate in that reality. No one is left out. God doesn't bring us into the family and say, well, I don't know what to do with you, so I'm just going to hang you on the wall or set you over here on top of the, like an ornament on the mantle. There's no such thing as that. God has brought you into the kingdom for such a time as this. He is calling each of us individually to participate with him in doing stuff in our world.
George, you didn't read the two verses before that.
Go ahead and read it. I don't have it written down.
Jeremiah said, I didn't sit in the circle of merrymakers, nor did I exult. Because of thy hand upon me, I sat alone, for thou didst fill me with indignation. Why has my pain been perpetual and my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Wilt thou indeed be to me like a deceptive stream with water that is unreliable? He's saying that to God.
Yeah.
And then God says,
things are not good.
If you will extract
the precious
from the
worthless.
The worthless is looking at the stuff.
Yeah. And fearing the stuff of darkness. So it's an important moment. You say, okay, why this moment? Well, commonly we think about making New Year's resolutions. Well, that's coming up. But I want you to know that the Father says, whatever was done or not done in 2018, I'm calling you forward. I got stuff for you to do in 2019. I got stuff for you to do this week. I got stuff for you to... You say, well, where Keith started earlier... Well, I know that you told me X, Y, Z a long time ago. And Father's saying, yeah, and I'm calling you now to X, Y, Z. Will you accomplish X, Y, Z starting now? That's the question. The other section of Scripture that I wanted to put before you is the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, and verse starting with verse 14. By the way, that was Jeremiah 15:19, in case you want to follow that earlier one. Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand and gives light to all who are in the house. You know, I've heard this many times, but I want you to think about it for just one moment with this perspective. You are the light of the world. God doesn't put you under a basket. God doesn't put you in a closet and say, okay, shine in the closet and close the door. I'll be back in 2,000 years. You are the light of the world, and he puts you on a lampstand. There's stuff for you to be lighting about. There's stuff for you to be releasing the light of the world into. The next one verse, is this encouragement. But I'll back up and read it. I'm going to back up and read, starting with 14. You are the light of the world. A city on the hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone, including God, light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. I just want to say again, God has called you into the kingdom in order for you to be a light into your world. He doesn't put you under a basket. Okay, going on. Let your light so shine before men. This translation, I say King James because I'm familiar with that, but I ought to read what I wrote. This is New American Standard here. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light shine in such a way. Let your light shine in such a way that they will glorify your Father in heaven. How do I do that? The focus is to glorify. If your focus is to glorify Father, if your focus is to build His kingdom, you will let your light shine in such a way that it will please the Father, glorify the Father. The focus, if your desire in your prayer, in your blessing, in your declaration, is to glorify the Father, He'll see to it that it gets that. Let your light shine in such a way as to glorify your Father which is in heaven. That is what is before us today, from start to finish. From when Keith said, whatever He called you to do or be months, years ago, do and be starting today, in Jesus' name. I'd like us to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we once again hear the call. And we can think of many reasons why it would be easier to do something else, to say something else, to be somewhere else. May we be so focused on the precious that we despise the worthless, turn aside from it, to pursue the precious, that which You call us to do and be and say. In Jesus' name. Lord, we recognize the deepness of Your love and compassion, innate story. A little old woman needing an arm to lean on. And so You cared enough to reach 1,000 miles away and bring a servant to lend an arm. I pray, Father, that we will be people who will see people around us as that precious. That the people in our world are that precious. That You would reach for 1,000 miles to bring somebody to them. May we find it in our hearts to be willing to love as You love those needy ones in our world. May we be moved by the love of the Father to accomplish, say, be, and do that which the Father calls us to be and do. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Keith just came to me and said, if he says, if you will separate the precious from the worthless, then first of all, there's a mixture. And before our eyes, there's a mixture. There's the precious and the worthless. But there's also a chance that we could be seeing it upside down or wrong side too, and not seeing what's precious and what's worthless. In Nate's story, there were a lot of potential precious things that he thought he was going to Virginia to accomplish. And then there was one almost worthless thing that he did, but it was the precious. And the rest, he can't remember. You know, maybe God did something that, you know, God installed in him, and it was there still. But the precious thing was his obedience before the Lord, that one place where he had something to do. The distinction is, what does God say? And what God is saying is precious. Everything else is worthless.
So once again, Lord, again, we just say, give us eyes to see and hearts to perceive the thing that is precious, that which is precious, in order that we might walk in harmony with your will and purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, one last thing before we leave, and then we're out of here. Over the years, God has had his hand on Keith and Diane for good and not for evil. And during those years, we have benefited from their ministry, particularly the prophetic in almost every week that Keith is here. There is a word or two or three that Keith brings to us that is the word of the Lord, and it is valuable to us. It has been rich for us. A number of years ago, someone said we should make him the house prophet, but he's never been the house prophet. His calling is greater than the house. It is an area, maybe nations, maybe who knows what, but house prophet is a minuscule calling, great but minuscule, compared to an area-wide ministry. And over the last 3 or 4 years, more and more, that calling has been drawn into his web, repeatedly prophetic, that would say to him, it's here, it's now, it's soon. And so the time has come in which Keith and Diane will be starting a ministry out of their home, house church, or, you know, one of the things about it, when God tells us to do something, he doesn't give us all the details. I'd like him to clarify everything, every step and every half step in between. Well, he doesn't do that because he thinks he's God, and we're supposed to trust him and believe him. And so today we're releasing Keith and Diane to begin the ministry that God has been calling to them about over years. I mean, how long have you been in that house?
10 years.
I was going to say 10, but I didn't want to. But even 10 years ago, there was an understanding that, 10 years ago, can you believe this? That there would be ministry in their home. And now we are placing them free to go ahead with the call of God in the house church, house ministry, something beyond. And so today will be a day in which we release them to go and be what God has called them to be. They aren't going to Virginia. They're going to be right close by, but called to be where they are, they're going to be. And so I'd like us to just pray for them and bless them this morning. So I'd like us to stand together, all of us, before the Lord, and pray a blessing over Keith and Diane, in Jesus' name. Father, I do thank you for Keith and Diane, and I recognize the calling of God that is upon them. And I recognize that you have drawn them to yourself, and you have been faithful to put stuff into them that is out of your heart into theirs, and they have been faithful to share it. And today we release them to this next step in Jesus' name. We bless them in Jesus' name. We release the anointing of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit upon them to accomplish what you have purposed for them to accomplish in this last day. May the blessing and the keeping power of the Almighty be upon them in Jesus' name. And all the people said,
grace to you.
Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Be sure to speak and give them a hug. You can even kiss them if you want to. Well, I think. Bless you, everyone. And remember, the God that spoke to Jeremiah has spoken to us today. Be sure to heed his call.